the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Continuing his theme inspired by Dave's love of gardening, in this recording he looks into the biblical principles of sowing and reaping. The main reading is 1 Peter chapter 1.
Amen. The seed. We looked last week at rooting. Get to the root. Look at the roots. What is our root? Of course, we know that we look at the fruit of something, the fruit of our lifestyle, our behavior, our decisions, and we need to get to the root of it and root it out. As we said before, sometimes those roots are long-lasting. They are deeply ingrained and take a lot of shifting sometimes, don't they? And as we said, weeds don't need any help, don't need any feeding. They just seem to come. And like our old nature, they seem to crop up pretty readily. And sort of carry on with that kind of thinking, as Jesus did, obviously, in that society, agricultural, horticultural. They understood sowing seeds. And we know a little bit, of course. We've done a bit of gardening, or certainly done a bit of biology in school, you know, about seeds. As we said, this is a quote last week, from little seeds grow mighty trees. And that could be both positive and negative, isn't it? And again, we look at the root, but what is the seed that produced that root? And that's interesting as we look again tonight at sowing and reaping. What we sow, where we sow, how we sow, all very important, all very critical. The principle is this. It is a principle that is, we use the word irrevocable. It means it's absolutely final. Gee, God said, you will reap what you sow. We understand that naturally. You know, you look at those seeds and sometimes they don't look any different unless you see the packet on you. You put a carrot seed in and that's what you'll expect. Nothing else will come. Sometimes the seed doesn't grow, fair enough, but you expect a carrot to come up, don't you? So what you sow, you will certainly reap. And thankfully, isn't it amazing how God, again, the creation just screams God's handiwork, design, and this principle. Genesis 1, 11 to 13.
And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good.
Amazing, isn't it? You know, we don't like pips, do we? But that is God's design to keep that plant and fruit going. Amazing design. That the plant would actually not just produce its fruit, but produce its seed to further reproduce and carry on. What was I watching? I don't know, it was a long time. It was one of those Attenborough things. Again, I like watching all the details. Not sure about its commentaries most of the time. But I'm trying to think where it is in one of these places. They've got all different types of seeds that they've kept, because some of these plants have, but they've kept all these seeds, thousands of seeds from, you know, hundreds of years, and amazing really of the varieties and of different things they've just kept them. But that's the principle, that God said seed produces fruit and reproduces of its kind. And that's interesting. So very important, what we sow. That principle we know is certain, naturally, supernaturally, spiritually. What about this? After the flood, Genesis 8.
Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, sea time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night should not cease.
Amen. So when people say about this and that, God's in control. When they talk about change of this and change of that, As we said before, climate's always changed. It's always been wet in Wales, as we see today. In years gone by, it's been warmer and been cooler. That's how it's called. It's cyclical. And ultimately, it's irrespective of what we do. God's in control. God's in control. Now, the Bible's very clear. Look after it, isn't it? And one of my pet hates is rubbish on the side of the road. It's disgusting, isn't it? Why do people chuck rubbish? Anyway, I'm getting on my soapbox now. But that is bad, yeah, and rubbish. But ultimately, it's all in his sight. And he said, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, here we go, getting into winter now, eventually, autumn, winter, they shall not cease. The principle is there in nature. And the principle there, as we see in a while, is there in the spiritual. So be very careful. I was reading an amazing quote, and I'll pray that probably Sunday. John Bunyan, I don't think it was from Pilgrim's Progress, but he said, I think it was from the other book, I've never read the book about spiritual warfare, and he was saying he could hear the enemy whispering behind him, I don't care how long it takes, as long as I cool you, just little by little, cool you. And I thought, that's really interesting. And just gently, insensibly, he said, if it takes me 7, 10, 20 years, he said, if I can cool you from the Lord. And I thought, oh, that is wisdom, isn't it? Because sometimes we don't realise it, do we? That where was, you know, when you go back, oh, I was on fire, wasn't I? Read the word, praying, wanted to share the gospel. Just slowly and gently, we get comfortable. We get at ease. And there's nothing worse than being at ease. We'll look at some of the Proverbs in a moment.
Just think of a backslider, isn't it? And
absolutely. Yeah, gently.
All the time they've been in the church. And
yeah.
What makes them backslider?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So that interesting seed time happens, and Jesus brought it up, Mark 4. 26:28.
And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head.
Again, it is amazing, isn't it? You look at a seed, and you think, you look at an acorn. How does a mighty oak tree come from that? It is a miraculous, isn't it? You take a seed, or whatever it is, a carrot, and they now know the difference between lots of them. And you put that in. How does a carrot come from that? Amazing. But it does. And again, what we sow, it will produce. Every seed has a viability. What does that mean? Capable of growing into a healthy plant or whatever it is. Now, that viability, it can be short-lived. They say a willow seed has only a few days before it won't produce. Other seeds, they've looked at this, they found a seed from the oriental lotus, there we are, that germinated after 2,000 years. Bless the Lord. Each specifies the plant in a specific moment in viability. Now, I just, again, encourages me, stirs me, that seed that was sown in many people many years ago, bless the Lord, as we see, given the right environment, can bring forth fruit. And that's what we're praying for, isn't it? We just wonder why some people sat under the word, with family members sat under the word for years. What are they, you know, we would say, how dull are you, as Jesus says to us sometimes. The viability, the dormancy, well, that's waiting for it to be germinated. Dispersal, well, lots of ways that seed is dispersed, water, animal, water, air, of course, wind. And that germination, where when it's in that place, that soil, it's favourable to germinate and it brings forth fruit. So as we look at those verses, we read one last week, time to plough up the unfallow ground. How do you do that? Seek the Lord. Break up that unfallow ground so that it has good place to bed in and germinate. So sowing, and the power of the word, the power of the seed, of course we understand very clear, the Bible is very clear what this particular seed is, seed of the word of God. So powerful, it says this, 1 John 3, 7-10.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
See, that's the power of the word, its seed, and that seed produces the character of Christ. And he's very clear there, is he? You cannot consistently, persistently continue in sin and have the word and the seed of God in you. And that's a really powerful thing. And that, again, challenges people, challenges us. And when people say, I believe, well, what's the fruit? What's the production? Is the seed in you? Christian life is not characterized by a spirit of lawlessness, powerlessly led into habitual practice of sin natural to the devil, not to a believer. We cannot sin because we have the Spirit's conviction. A constant indulgence in sin contradicts the claim to have a personal knowledge of Jesus. That is absolutely clear, isn't it? From John's epistle there. If the word is in you, yes, you do trip up and fall, because he said we have an advocate. If you sin, confess, isn't it? Yeah. But there's a persistent, and as I've said last week, it bothers me when people are saying they are born again, saved, but their life and they're in the, some are just literally living in sin. Mm-hmm. And then you're thinking, wait a minute, now could that be ignorance? You're looking for an answer, but sometimes you just got to take the word and say, well, are they really, truly got the word of life in them? Have they had the seed of God implanted in them? And is it growing? Well, it's John's pretty clear. He's old there. He's not pulling any punches, because he wants people to really know if they're really saved. Seed of the word of God produces life. But throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it says how we sow, where we sow, what we sow. Very, very important. Isaiah 17, 10 and 11.
Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strewn slips. In the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow.
So it's very interesting. He said you've even imported these lovely animals, these lovely plants and these lovely flowers, if you like. You've imported them to look good. But remember the verses, verse 10. But you have not, you've forgotten the God of your salvation. That's a powerful. When we forget our salvation, it's all show then. There's no substance. And you have not been mindful, you've not marked the power, the strength, and the defense of the Lord of hosts. Because you sow, it doesn't come to anything. And that's how you sow, where you sow. Very important. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking of that verse in Haggai came to me. And he starts off, Haggai says, consider your ways. Say, always good, isn't it? Mm. Look at your heart. Look at the path you're trotting, he said, you're treading. He said, look, your houses, pooh. He said, you looked after your house, but the house of God is in ruins. So you haven't built it. Then he says this, you've sown much, but you've reaped little. You have said you were warm, but you're cold. And he goes, you've eaten, but you're still not satisfied. But you've sown much, but you reap little. Consider your ways. And that's an interesting, and that bothers me sometimes in the spiritual, because we have sown a lot. And we're looking for a reaping. And the Lord said, consider that. Consider your ways. Look at why. Look at reasons. If you neglected the most important things. Of course, in their idea, the house of God was the most important, not their own house. And when the Bible says, seek first, is the kingdom the most important? Or is my kingdom the most important? And we'll see in a moment about giving and sowing. Am I sowing into the kingdom? Am I sowing into eternity? Or am I sowing into time? Great questions. because he said, consider your ways. He said, and Isaiah and the prophet, we'll look at Jeremiah, and he said, look, you've sown much, but you've reaped little, because you've not sown with me, with me in mind, with the glory of God in mind. You've sown to yourself. Jeremiah 4.
If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and in judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall be glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up and sow not among the thorns. Circumcise yourself to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn like none can quench it because of thy evil of thy doings.
Watch where you sow. Do not sow among thorns. Break up the ground before you sow it, isn't it? And that's why sometimes we can have a word or a teaching and it, and wonderful it is, the word of God's always wonderful, but it doesn't find root. It doesn't matter. Or it starts, but because we haven't uprooted and cleaned the soil first with the word, time in his presence, time with his word, it digs up those areas. It never flourishes. And that which God wants to put into our lives never really breaks out. He said, give attention. Give attention to where you're sowing. Give attention. What did he say? Listen to me. Circumcise your heart. Get rid of the hardness of heart. Allow God's word to have its full way in life. Deuteronomy says this, and of course Deuteronomy 28 is the curses for disobedience. And he says, look, he said, you will sow much but reap little. Locusts will come. The worm will come. Why? Because you've not listened to me. You've not ploughed into my word and allowed the word to plough into you. Jeremiah 12 says the same thing. Sow, but you sow wheat, but reap thorns. You wear yourself out, but gain nothing, because you have not paid attention to me. And idolatry was the root of that, of course. And Micah, all the prophets were the same. You've sown, but you haven't reaped. You've had olives and grapes, but you've not used, you've not produced anything because of your rebellion and your idolatry. Sow iniquity, Proverbs says, you sow iniquity, you will reap what? Emptiness, vanity, and ultimately the rod of his fury will come upon us. And we see that, even that story that Mike was just saying before we started, people, as people get older, if they're not following the Lord, there's emptiness, there's a meaninglessness, there's a pointlessness about their lives. And the older you get, the more you realise that, don't you? If you're under the Lord, you're thinking, oh, right, kids are gone. Yeah. And you're thinking, what's happening now? What is my purpose? What is my reason? And he says, if you sow iniquity, you will reap vanity, emptiness. And the Bible says, I've redeemed you from that empty way of life. Pointlessness. We have a great point. And that's why it's so important to sow righteousness, the word, and we'll see some other things to sow in a moment. New Testament is very very strong as well on this. Hebrews 6.
Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be doomed. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him, as you have helped his people to, and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised.
We come to the diligence and the laziness later on, but that's you know, for you gardeners, you understand. You can watch, if you sit by and watch it, what will it produce? Weeds, thorns and thistles. That's what it'll produce. And that's why there's earnestness, there's a bit of sweat and tears, isn't it? And that's exactly the same. You know, it's a narrow way. We are applying the word. Sometimes that's difficult, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's painful, because it's not what we want to do, but it's what we should be doing, what God wants. And of course, thorns and thistles, if we are producing those, thankfully we know what those are, don't we? Go back to the sower principle. Thorns and thistles. Thorns choke God's word. What were those thorns? Well, worries, cares, distractions of life. And dear me, they can get on top of us sometimes, can't they? And they'll come at us, as we talking earlier, they can come at us in a wave sometimes. What else can go wrong? But, you know, that's what, just thank you, Lord. Where can I turn? Only you. Sometimes there's only you I can turn to, and that's what he's looking for. Turn to him. Deceitfulness of wealth, the delusion of wealth. Well, that catches us all sometimes. Mark says the desire for other things. Luke says they go their own way. Those thorns are all caught up in me-centered, as instead of God-centered. When we begin to say I, me, my, I think, I want, I feel, stop straight away, isn't it? Stop straight away, because you know that's feeding, that's seeds of thorns and thistles, and that will produce negative and will choke God's word. And he's very clear, isn't he? He said, look, I don't want you to be like that. And you shouldn't be like that. So be diligent. And look at the people behind you who have gone before you by faith and perseverance. And I would just, again, this bothers me as well. I would just, when I was at Steve Davis's mum's funeral. And obviously grew up in a, you know, in those times where they said there was nothing from, you know, to go to work, then come home, and then she would drive the minibus for church, pick kids up, take them, and then do this and do that. Because their whole central mentality was to serve the Lord, to serve the church. And he said, men, and they'd be out like half the night when they're serving and doing and this and that. Now, again, we can come to that balance again, but what I'm saying is we've gone so far the other way now that people come once and think they've done the Lord a favour, haven't they? Bigger churches, because I talk to people and they say, I was talking to someone the other day and said, can you come and help us in this? Oh no, I'm too busy. He said, you're retired, how can you be too busy? Can't you come and help us for the day? Oh no, can't, they said. And you think, no, we're in trouble. Now we're in trouble, because the Bible is very clear. Be diligent, be earnest about that which is the most important. And of course, again, we read these verses last week, Hosea 10, great verses.
Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. He hath ploughed wickedness, he hath reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men.
Again, thankfully, God's said, what are you sowing? Righteousness, God's ways, God's word, God's will in your life. Righteousness, and you will reap that chesed, that stubborn, persistent love and mercy of God. How do we break up the fallow ground? How do we do that? Presence of the Lord, seek his face, get into his presence, shut out everything else, all those distractions that take discipline. We said before, prayer is the most difficult thing. Why? Because it doesn't involve any of our senses. Reading, well, some of us don't like reading so much, but we can pick up a book and read, and again, no excuse for that. But praying, it does take a little bit of, you've got to ground yourself in, because straight away you get down to pray and a million things will crop into your mind. Got to do this, got to do that. And goodness knows what comes into our minds. That's where we break up the fallow ground. So righteous. But he said, again, the opposite. You've sown wickedness, and so you reap it. You reap that. And the deception. And why have you deceived? Because they depended upon their own way and upon the people around them. The man, he said. And that's deception. You My way is never the best way. In fact, more often than not, it's the worst way, not even the second best way. And so righteousness, not so wickedness and reap corruption and deception and destruction. So righteousness, so his words, so his ways. And here we are coming to Galatians, which is very clear. Galatians 6.
Do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please his spirit, from the spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Oh, he's coming to the end of his letter there, and he's getting really straight, isn't he? Do not be deceived. That means to be deluded, to want. It means that the root word is like a planet, a wanderer. Don't err. He said, God can't have. No, God's not mocked. He said, because this principle is so ingrained, so clear, you will reap what you sow. So if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life. If you the Spirit is in you, you're listening and led of him, you will reap life. But if you go your own way, flesh, Romans 6, 7, 8, you said you cannot please God if you're following your flesh, following your own ways. It's impossible. And he says, also, when you're sowing it spiritually, you are being obedient to the Lord, and you are doing good and looking for opportunities to do good. Why? Because that's what we are created for, isn't it? Created in Christ Jesus is creation. Why? Why to do good things that he's already prepared in advance for us to do? We are not just to be his in relationship with him. We are to be his ambassadors, showing him. And so it's very important that we sow. And again, we've forgotten the fear of the Lord. Again, John Bunyan writing in his book about the man's soul and the heart. How is the heart protected, truly protected? He said, by godly fear. When godly fear is there, the heart is protected through the eye gate, through the ear gate, and he goes through the other gates around the man. So he's obviously trying to give an allegory of a castle or a place. He said, those gates are protected, truly protected, with godly fear. When godly fear goes, those are loose. David, the second look. The persistent look. He'd lost something, had gone astray. He wasn't doing where he wasn't where he should have been. He wasn't doing what he should have been doing. When the kings were out at war, he was there lazing round. Always a danger. Always dangerous. When we are at ease. But do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. He certainly will not be. You can't turn up your nose at him and treat him with contempt. That's called godlessness, isn't it? And sadly, that's crept into the church. Think God is can be manipulated and changed, and we see it all around. Sowing, that which is good, sowing, and God sees it and produces and bears fruit. How about this lovely verse, Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6.
Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
That's the heart of the Lord, isn't it? Sowing with tears. That's sowing out of the compassion, out of the heart of God. The Bible says Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, prayed with loud cries and tears. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. And when we sow with tears, oh, the fruitfulness, the joy that comes from that. Oh, help us, Lord, have his heart, isn't it? We're talking about the heart the other day. God's heart to sow and wet the flow with tears. There is a verse, isn't it, again in Psalms where the Bible says he bottles up. That's what it means. He bottles up our tears. And that's good news, isn't it? He knows every tear we shed. And that we would begin to shed tears a bit more, I think, to have the heart of the Lord. So sowing, and again, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8.
But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully.
so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
Well, again, so we've got a lack in an area, we've got a lack in a particular area of your life. Sow in it. Sow to that. Sow to that. If it's patience, sow to that. Put yourself in a position where you talk to that person in work that you don't really like, that really gets on your nerves. Put yourself there and sow into patience. when your spouse says something and you want to say something back. And you were right, of course, as we always are, or we think we are. Sow into those areas. Of course, it's specifically talking about money there, isn't he? Sow into it. Sow, give it away. Give sow generously, and you'll reap generously. He said, sow. And interesting there, you sow, you reap generously, but also the provision to do it again. It was Wesley said, earn as much as you can to give as much as you can. Earn as much as you can, get as much as you can to give as much as you can, he said. And that's a great principle. Of course, that's the principle of living a dynamic Christian life, Christian discipleship, isn't it? We receive from the Lord. We implant it. We make it's a foundation. Then we give it away. Freely received, freely give. As much as you've given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, give, poured into your lap. And remember we said before, God's shovel is bigger than mine. God's shovel is bigger than mine. So sow into those areas, those difficult areas. Go again. We talk about forgiveness. Well, again, sow into our areas. Sow into that area. All those areas we can sow into applying the word. I just listened to someone the other day and he said, good, just sometimes write things down. And write, you know, when things come to your heart and your mind, and they are, just write them down. And under the lies or truth, write down the lies. He said, if it's a lie, whatever it is that's said to you, or the devil says to you, or you think about yourself, or what's said, he said, write it down. But then get hold of the word of God. He said, write the truth next to it. Write God's word next to it. So that's how you defeat that thinking. That's how you defeat lies by truth. The truth will set you free. Take the truth, apply it to the lie. And that's sowing righteousness. That's taking God's word and applying it. Now, again, diligence is and the book of Proverbs is always talking about the sluggard. Isn't it? Sluggard to those who are diligent, working, do not love sleep, he said, or you'll grow poor and stay awake. And listen to these words, Proverbs 24:30-34.
I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there he was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man.
I love Proverbs because it very wisdom, of course, isn't it? I looked, I considered. Look at the lazy man. Is thorns, thistles, is the wall is broken down, no defense, no nothing good, poverty, want, scarcity. And that can be sometimes in our spiritual life, poverty, want, and scarcity, because we have not been diligent. We just read Hebrews 6 about being, don't be lazy. He said, don't be lazy with this gospel. Yeah, and he said, don't drift either, because you'll drift on by, it'll drift on by. Be urgent, he said. But don't neglect this wonderful salvation. Going back to one of the verses we just read, Isaiah, I think, you've forgotten the God of your salvation. Remember who we are and what God has saved us from. It's always good to remind us, isn't it? Open your eyes, consider the way of the sinner that we were and see the end result. Now, in sometimes we look and think at Psalms 73. Ooh, they're looking wonderful. Life is going great for them. a few years down the road, I'm going to look again. Emptiness, void, and of course then look into eternity. He said, I'm looking to eternity, and then we're in trouble because there's nothing there for them at all. So laziness, diligence, discipline, what's that word I've written there? Determination, I think. Yes. Can't remember writing. Determination. And that, these words, again, very important. All of Christianity, discipleship. We're Christians. That's our lifestyle. And these lovely verses, we read these many times, but again, every time I read them, it stirs my heart to realize who we are, what God has given us, everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us the resources to produce a fruitful life, a forest of the fruit of the Spirit, a forest of wonders. He's given us the resources, but we have to be good gardeners. We have to care for what we sow, care for where we sow, how we sow, root out those weeds that shouldn't be there, get rid of them. If we are producing thorns and thistles, get them out, rip them up, burn them in the Word of God, in His presence, all those things, sowing well, sowing right. And here we are in 2 Peter 1, 4 to 12 to finish.
His divine powers has given us everything we need for a glorified life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us the very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to be perseverance and godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being infected and unproductive in your knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you know now have.
Yeah. Peter said, I keep reminding you, even though you know it, and you're establishing it, because, again, we are prone to forget, aren't we? We're good forgetters of things that the Lord has done, the Lord's asked us to do, the Lord's prompted us to do. But, of course, again, the root of it, divine power, godly nature, divine nature, you know who you are, and because of this, make every effort. Apply yourself to add to these things and grow in the Lord, so you won't be ineffective, so you won't be unproductive. And the root of it is what? We've forgotten, our sins are forgiven. See, when we keep that in mind, that we are sinners saved by grace, let me tell you, we love Jesus, don't we? We love Him with all our hearts. How can we not? Because he saved us. And he said, if you forget that, you'll be, you know, that's why you're not making, that's why you're not diligent, that's why you're not making every effort in that. But he said, when you don't forget, when you just remember your salvation, hallelujah, bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org. Thank you.